know some God. And we really had to come in. And the main purpose of our gathering together has to be to worship Him. We come with another ulterior motive, then it happens that we are just missing the point. Because really, He ought to be praised. He ought to be worshipped with everything that we are. Surrendering ourselves, emptying ourselves, so He can be in us. Because holiness is Christ in us. We cannot be holy unless the Holy One resides in our hearts. Amen? The Lord is so great. I tell you, the love of God is so amazing that He let us see the right things in the perspective when we try, instead of just analyzing ourselves, the situations and circumstances that come into our lives, what we ought to do is look at it through God's eyes, and all of a sudden everything changed. Because when we don't see the possibilities, God show us that for God, there's what is impossible for God? Nothing. Amen? All of a sudden, I was kind of letting my flesh get in the way a while ago, a few seconds ago, because I could not find my glasses. Well, the thing is, probably I don't even going to be able to use my glasses, but I'm going to just try to give it a try. The Lord is so good. He brought me a message that is for every believer, everywhere, and in every place. We're living in very exciting times. The return of the Lord is getting closer. It might be today, or it might be 10 or 20 years from now. But I'm going to live my life like if it's today. I want to be ready. I want to be meet with my Lord, so when I go to eternity, being by the way of death or by the way of the Lord coming and returning for His church, I want to be prepared to see His face. You know, I want to see the face of that one that loved me the most. And I don't think that I touched base with Richard Ramsfield for him to read certain scriptures and to accommodate what the Lord is bringing in the message. But the Lord is sovereign, and that's what we are going to be, and that's the title of the message this morning, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. We have a Bible that is consists of 66 books. You know, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you cannot separate one from the other. You know, there's people that tend to do that because they want to accommodate for their philosophies or their ideas. You know, because we're so intelligent in the 21st century, it happens that we are going to tell God how things are done. Oh, goodness sake, really just, let's have an aqua velva moment. Remember, those of you that are old like me, you know the aqua velva commercial, is that right? And the aqua velva commercial, it was that there was a guy that's standing there, and to promote this cologne, it was that the guy gets slapped in the face twice, is that right? You know, and sometimes we need God to really slap us and really just make us see the truth of the message of the Word of God. You know, 66 books. And the Lord gave me the central scripture for this message in the book of Isaiah. And you know how many books Isaiah has? 55. Huh? 55. He has 66 chapters. 66 chapters. Would it be coincidence? I don't know. But I tell you one thing. I know that my God is sovereign. He can make it however He pleases. He don't need my opinion. I don't need to convince Him about, why don't you let me do this, Lord? Even that I know that Your Word says that it's wrong. Can You please let me have it? I'm so glad that He's so merciful. You know, we have we cannot change the tables and try to see if we can convince God to let us do wrong. Rude awakening, is that right? The aqua velva moment. Pow, pow. You know. And it's so good that the Lord just let us see his sovereignty. And in the book of Isaiah, it's a very interesting book. Because if you read I'm not going to read the whole book. I mean the whole chapter 66. Because I'm going to have difficulty reading it. But the thing is, I'm just going to see and see if I'm a good teacher. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an assignment. When you go home, read the 66th chapter of Isaiah. Complete. Because it's a summary of what God has done in the whole Bible. He talks about God's plan, how he's going to do it. And not only that, but even he talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Hold on, that's in the book of Revelation, is that right? That's the last book of the Bible. 66 books, 66 chapters. Another coincidence. Guess what, guys? You know, I think that the sovereignty of God is that he's going to catch our attention onto the revelation that he has given us so we can see his will. And let's go to verse 1 of the 66th chapter of Isaiah. And I'm going to try to read it. If not, you know what? Richard has such a great voice. I tell you, if the Lord would have given me a voice like that, he knows why he didn't give it to me. You know why? Because probably I would just follow my own things, you know. So I'm glad that he's the one in control. He loves us. He changes. And the thing is that he even changed our minds, you know. Sometimes our minds are not in alignment with his will, and we have to humble ourselves. Will you please read the 66 chapter verses 1 and 2? Trembles at my word. Just keep that paper because I'm going to have you read some other parts of the scripture to how the Lord is bringing the message. It's interesting that God let us know his sovereignty because first of all, he says, where is his throne? You know, sometimes I think that we're trying to do like the problems that are there in Venezuela. You know, that dictators in South America and all around the world, not only Venezuela, but all around the world, they usually go to power because they go and do a coup d'etat. Is that right? It just replaces a government because they take their place. Sometimes it happens with people that they want to take the place of God and want to sit in his throne. But God, he's in his throne. His throne is in heaven, and his footstool is the earth. Then he says, you know, are you going to build me a house? Where am I going to dwell? God doesn't need us to really build something for him. He's building something for us. What did Jesus Christ say? Jesus Christ says in a statement that was very important. If I will go, I will prepare a place for you. For wherever I am, there you might be also. So I can take you unto myself. You know, the thing is that when we let God be God, then the Holy Spirit starts making the changes in our lives into a way that we can see God and God things through his eyes, through his word. He says that he was looking for a person. What was the character of that person? Richard, can you read it again, please?
Are you talking about I will look favorably on?
The person that I'm...
Yeah, I will look favorably on this kind of person who is humble submissive in spirit and trembles at my word.
Look at that.
This one, it says, this is the one I esteem, who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word.
Amen. You know, look at the quality. So this kind of person, oh, there's different kinds of person. Oh, no, but, you know, how can that be? Yeah, because there's people that are proud, and they don't let God to work in their hearts, in their lives. It happens that the person that God, the kind of person that God is looking, is the one that is humble and that also tremble at His word. Tremble at His word. What is that? It's the fear of the Lord. This is what the Bible says. The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. But the only way that you can fear of the Lord is when the Holy Spirit really just revealed to you who God is. And that happens through the preaching of the word. That all of a sudden the Holy Spirit come and convict you of what you are, of what I am. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. The message of the gospel cannot be changed from that one that is being given by God and His apostles about the exclusive message of the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Christ is the complete message. We cannot move from that. There's many that have moved from that. Even the apostle says that there are many that they preach the gospel for profit, or that they give a message for profit. You know, we can see that in today. Many people moving away from the cross. Nobody wants to talk about the sovereignty of God. We want to God make Him one equal to us when He's not. He's God. We're His children. And we have to really submit to His will. You know that God's will is going to be made even if we are not in His will? You know that? He's sovereign, you know. I'm not going to change His mind on how He do things, you know. I remember I heard one person that says, you know, but how a good God can make His creation and people go to damnation for eternity. And I have heard, because we get very, very sophisticated in terminology. Academia has really done a damage to our nation, you know. And it's this, you know, we really start identifying things that really just put the ones that oppose the enemies of Christ into a position that they are deranged. Let me tell you what is the terminology. What is a phobia?
Fear.
Yeah, now it's more than that. Let's go. But it's good. You okay. What? Irrational fear. In other words, is, you know, something that you know what happens? You are fearful of that because you're deranged. If you talk against something, now immediately they accuse you to have a phobia. If you denounce the wrong things that are in this world, all of a sudden you have a phobia. There's terminologies are used in politics, they're used in religion, it's used in everything else. Because when they declare you to have a phobia, it means that you are irrational. So you know what? Praise the Lord that I am a irrational Christian.
Thank you.
Because it doesn't have to make sense. What it has to comply is the... Can somebody help me? Okay. I am so glad that I'm in a congregation that I get all the help that I need. You know, the first help I got, it was from the Lord. Got me out of my mistakes. You know, Rafi knew it all, and he was always right unto everything till he was confronted with his sin. God's sovereignty. He's in his throne, and he's looking for a kind of person, the humble person. But how can we become humble if we don't understand that our condition needs redemption? You know what redemption means, is that right? The term redeem, it happens that one that is being bought back. We were slaves to sin. We come to Christ, and we are bought back and belong to the one that paid the price. Is that right? So if I was a slave to sin, and Jesus Christ bought me from sin, then I have to become a slave to righteousness, because he's the righteous one. It's so good that I was blessed, you know. We're singing about the Holy Spirit. We're singing to the Holy Spirit, not about, but just singing to the Holy Spirit, because we're worshiping God. And we invite the Lord to be in us, because he's the one that he can transform our lives, you know. Holy is what it makes a person sanctified. In other words, separate to the service of God. But how can we be holy if the Holy Spirit is not in us? Or how can we be sanctified if we don't let the Holy Spirit to really take control and make us obedient to the Word of God? And this is something that we have to understand clear, what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what Rafi says. What Rafi says, it can be just an amount of a hill, how do you call it, a hill of beans or something like that, I don't know. So, I'm trying to say it right, you know. Remember, my culture is kind of in between, you know, but I'm glad that I'm not of this world, that we have become children of God. But we have to understand what the work of the Holy Spirit is. You know, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. And Richard, if you please.
Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The book of Acts, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 8.
Yes, sir. Great.
For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your...
Oh, no, that's okay. That one was... Okay, thank you.
Save that one.
Okay. Save that one for later. Non tipo nacho libre, okay?
Okay.
Amen. Use receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. But how can you receive the Holy Spirit unless you come to salvation to Christ? You see, the Holy Spirit power is manifested in the transformation of the man that receive it, because then it happens that you can become a witness of the finished work of Christ in the cross of Calvary. It's not Christ and this. It's not Christ and the other. It's Christ, period. No other way. You know, we try now to really just be politically correct. Let's just sit down to a dialogue because we have to coexist. We are called to peace. You know, how many times people or men or humanity or politicians have tried to reach peace? The PLO wanted peace. Yasser Arafat, that was a terrorist, got a Nobel Prize of Peace. Now you tell me that. Is this world deranged? Oh no, Raphael, is that your have a phobia? You are Islamophobic. You know. But the truth is that what God reveals is that there's only one Prince of Peace, and it's Jesus Christ. And there's not going to be peace in the heart of man unless God lives in him and the Holy Spirit take control of that life, sanctifying us to separate us for the service of Christ so we can be the true witness unto the message of the gospel. But we have to be humble. We have to learn to really just put ourselves aside. You know, Rafi has a lot of good ideas, but not all the ideas that Rafi has are good. He thinks that they're good, but God has a better way. Is that right? What is that God says to the scripture? He says, as my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. So let's start focusing in the way of God and less on my way. Yes. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, producing me a heart of flesh that he can understand your love. See, what happens is that when we have that concept, I tell you, I live in that condition for many years, and still I have to fight that condition because guess what? Satan is working overtime. Satan wants to destroy Israel. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy humanity because it happens that he hates us because God loves us. He wants to be, and of course, I'm saying this, and please don't laugh. You know that my wife's name is Mary, but she's not like that, okay? But you know that there's and I have a dear Mary here, Mary Cole, and but there's a saying in it that is, has become very popular. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. Yeah. So what happens is that we tend to see that there's a pattern that Satan is contrary to whatever God has designed because he wanted to have the place of God. But what is that we read in Isaiah 66? Where is the throne of God? Can you read it for me again? Amen.
What house could you possibly build for me? In what place could be my home? My hand made all these things, and so they will all come into being. This is the Lord's declaration.
Amen. You know that God doesn't need anything of us, is that right?
Right.
David, when he contemplated this truth, well, he says, you know, what can I give to you, O Lord? Even my life is yours. I mean, what can I give God? I can give God what he deserves, my worship. We were created for worshiping God. If we come here just for making us feel good about ourselves, we're missing the point. If you do good in unrighteousness, it's no good. You know why? Because that's how con men trick people out there out of their money. They make them feel good about themselves. I come to worship God, not to make myself good about myself, but to really give the honor and the glory to the one that deserves it. Because you know what is going to happen if I don't do it? The Bible says that even those that are enemies of Christ, it's going to happen something. What is going to happen? Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. So the will of God is going to be made. It doesn't matter if I want to oppose God or if I want to go just and run with the crowd. What happens is God is going to be glorified no matter what. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on Richard. It doesn't depend on Donnie. or it doesn't depend on Tyrone. It depends on God. He's the one that really just can impute that righteousness that Jesus Christ paid for in the cross of Calvary. And if we give the glory to him, we are A-OK. We can say that we're in the OK corral. See, the importance of us surrendering to the message of knowing is because the Holy Spirit himself is the one that makes that possible. I could not figure out God. As an atheist, I read the scriptures. And we have to understand the scriptures are holy, no matter what. But the scriptures are not the word of God till the Holy Spirit comes into the equation, because he's the one that opens our understanding to what the Holy Scriptures means. If not, let's see, how many people have different cults that they quote scriptures, but it's not in the essence of the whole counsel of the word, so therefore they just come and invent a religion. Jim Jones in South America, in Guam, as a matter of fact, he thought that he was somebody because the tempter came and confused his mind. I am the one right. You're wrong. I'm the one right here, you know. When we start just getting into that idea, then we don't let the glory of God to be manifested. And then it happens that we are always in a cycle that doesn't let us to be victorious in Christ. Okay? In the book of Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to have that scripture read in a moment, it happens that it really explains what the purpose of God is in us as believers. If I cannot see Richard as my brother, we have two Richards. Let me just grab both. Because they are both my brothers. Hallelujah. If I cannot see them as my brothers, and I see them like my enemies, or I can see them like something different than what I am, it happens that the love of Christ has not been born in my heart. If I have something against my brother, it happens that then my brother had to come and fix the and settle our differences. Are there going to be differences in the church? Oh, no. You know, we're so perfect that that we never see. I can always see eye to eye. You know what I'm saying? But that's not true. Because in this side of heaven, we're still in the body of flesh. We need the power of the Holy Spirit that we spoke of to be a true witness. How can we know to be disciples of Christ when we love one another? When we can set our differences aside and then we can come and embrace what Christ said. Because remember that the law is perfect. Is that right? The reason that Christ had to come, because nobody could fulfill the law. Christ fulfilled the law for us, and then he nailed all these ordinances, 613 of them. And then, of course, after Christ, the rabbis have added about 10,000 in technicalities. That's the reason that Jews are so good lawyers, because they can find a little detail, you know, somewhere and all that. And it happens that Christ nailed him at the cross, because in the cross is where all this is finished. When Jesus Christ said, and he said it, there's two commandments that really even include those 613 ordinances on it. He says, love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your strength and all your heart, and your neighbor or your brother as yourself. Because in these two falls all the law and the prophets. So in Christ we can have the fulfillment of the law. The law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus is the one that it has made us able to come today and worship God. We cannot worship God in any other place. What sacrifice are you going to bring? Lord, remember, I went to seminary. I have a doctor of divinity. But you know what? All of a sudden, I saw some variance in the scripture, and therefore, I'm an atheist today. Hold on. Shouldn't it be backwards? That because I have come to Christ, and even if I did my divinity doctorate on this or the other, it should have revealed me more of God. Is that right? But when we're not in Christ, when we have not been born again, then it happens that we cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is through the new birth. And that happens when we come to Christ in humbleness and we repent of our sins. Now what happens is this. It's not just accepting Christ. Many people accept Christ. But how many people can come to the cross, close enough to the cross, that then I'm crucified with Christ? Some of us have stayed looking at the cross as a distance, because we don't want to come close to Him. That means that I'm going to have to die. You know that's what really had to happen in our lives? We have to die to sin so we can live unto righteousness. So how can be that we are still without no victory manifested in our lives and we're still enslaved to sin? It cannot be. It cannot be. The new birth is a necessary thing for you to see the kingdom of God. The new birth is something that really just transfers you from death to life. When I used to read the scriptures as an atheist, I did it to dispute with the believers, those Christians, you know. I remember that. Oh, man, those Christians, man. Those hallelujahs, you know. And those people that are just religious, you know, they think that they're so good. I didn't understand anything. But you know what? I did it because I want to dispute with them to what they believe. And the thing is that if you don't know what you believe, you better get on it and start really seeking the face of God in the Word so you can understand what is the decision that you have made. Because we believe by faith, and then we are just born into the kingdom of God. But then I want to know that one that really make this possible. But how can I know Christ? Last week, we have spent more time than ever before. Is that right? I can understand the heart of Richard because I'm starting to get to know him better. We have to know Christ better. We can just not keep ourselves at the distance from the cross because we are afraid that it might cost us something. To him, it cost him his life. And he gave it willingly for us. Now let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And I want you to read that is there complete.
What is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other
do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh is obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verses 14 through 21.
The Galatians were believers, is that right? It's a church. Paul is writing to the church. But one of the things that Paul emphasizes in is on the matter of love. It happens to the Church of Corinthians, chapter 1. In the first Corinthians, chapter 13, you know, talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And then he had to talk about a more excellent way, that it was the way of what? Love. There's three things, you know, hope, faith, and love, but the greatest of them is love. It happens that then he says, look what he says. The warning that he gives is watch out. Watch out, it means, you know, we have to really understand that is the one that God really is looking, the kind of person is the one that humbles himself and they ask the Lord, Lord, change me. Let it be that your Spirit in me make me able to really walk in the way that you want me to walk. But if we intend to do this in the flesh, we're not going to accomplish the will of God. Because this cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh cannot. We know our hearts. We know our hearts. I might just put a facade and make you feel that you like me, Donnie, because look, I'm always smiling. I never, you know, I'm going to get along with you. It's good when somebody's smiling at you, is that right? But when I just get mad at you or frown or something like that, can you still love me that way? Can you really just bring me onto the relationship that Christ wants us to have? The bond of love is what it makes the difference. Christ's love for us is costing his life. And then if I have to lay down my life for you, I have to do it in humbleness. I have to really set myself aside. You know, Rafi, in this, you're wrong. Step aside and let the Holy Spirit change your life. It's by walking in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. How many today in the churches, and I'm not pointing fingers out there, because look, when I point out there with one is pointing out, God is my witness, that three times I had to check myself. How many of us are defeated in the church because we're still enslaved to sin? How many of us that we proclaim that we're Christians have not really been born again? In our minds we are, but it has not come to our hearts yet. What is that the book of Romans says? Chapter 10, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is what? Savior? Oh, Lord, hold on. This is the boss then. Yes. Okay. And it says that if I believe in, confess it with my mouth that he's Lord and I believe in my heart. Hold on, it had to come from this to this. Sometimes people confess from here, but it has never gone into their heart. So they're not born again. There's a lot of cultural Christians. You know what? My grandpappy, he was a preacher, so that makes me a believer. Oh, really? Well, I have an aunt that she's a Pentecostal there. You know, they have the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. And because I have that aunt, it makes me a Christian too. I have a little bit of knowledge of that, you know. No, we have to be really careful. It's a one-on-one relationship. Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it has three folds. And I need you to read that last scripture. It's in John.
Yes.
Okay.
John, it's chapter 16, John, verses 8 through 11. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged.
Amen. So see, God is sovereign. We're going to receive power when we come to Christ, to repentance and receive salvation, and we're redeemed. All of a sudden, we're going to receive power. And this power is not to put a show. Have you seen many people that they have a show saying, oh, this is the Holy Spirit here, even prophesied, and then they even do things that are not the Holy Spirit? But they claim it's the Holy Spirit. But if it was the Holy Spirit, then you wouldn't be a witness. A witness of what? First of all, of the message of the gospel of Christ. Because what was the third fold of sin? Because they don't believe in whom? In me. Of righteousness, because Jesus Christ had to go where he was before he was born. He had to go to his right place. What? The sovereign God. Is that right? The throne of God that is in heaven.
Right.
And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is being judged. What is that Satan does? Keep people in unbelief. Guess what? If that's what it is to be a believer, because they justify themselves for the actions of others. See, Rafi is not a perfect man. Guess what? Joseph, you think that you are that good because you're a Christian? What it makes you so special? Amen. That's the point. But the world doesn't see it like that. Immediately that they see a flaw in a believer, they justify themselves to be an unbeliever. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that God can forgive a murderer. I cannot believe that after this guy has been doing this wrong, you know, and all that stuff, that is that easy. No, it's not easy. Jesus Christ paid the price. It might be easy for us that we can receive it freely, but it happens that we have to come to that point where the cross is. We have to repent, and then we have to come close enough to the cross to die to our sins and then to live in the holiness for God. And that can only be achieved if we walk in the Spirit. But how can you have the Spirit if you don't have Christ? And how can you know about the things of God if Christ doesn't reveal them to you? And how are you going to know him if you never come to his word? In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 13, it says that he has a name that nobody knows. And he was referring at the picture when Jesus Christ is coming in his white horse to really just come and do judgment. Because nobody likes to talk about judgment. No, 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 no. Man, if I'm judged, I'm going to be found guilty, and I had to pay the fine, you know. I'm glad that Jesus Christ paid it for me already. Is that right? A name that nobody knows, and his name is the Word of God. Hold on. We read, and I'm going to close with this. Remember I talked about the Holy Spirit give us power? So we can overcome sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I was.
Right.
Sin, yeah.
Yes.
If I say that I have not sinned, I make God a liar. Is that right? That's what 1 John says. So I have to admit what I am, but I am a redeemed sinner. So I'm going to be sanctified for the glory of whom? Christ. Can I do it on my own? No. Is it because I try harder? No. If you try to break something that you're in bond of by your own strength, and you don't let the Holy Spirit to be the one that takes control of that situation, you're going to be defeated. Don't try it in your strength anymore. Surrender it to God. Say, Lord, I cannot do it. I need your help. And I'm going to close with a prayer in a moment. That really, I think it accomplished a lot in us. When we come and present ourselves to the Lord, don't rush to your prayer. Slow down. Think about what you're stating. Or do you came with your grocery list? Lord, I need this, 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 and the other. It's not the errand boy. You know, we have to be careful. Can you just pray, please read Isaiah 66, the verses 1 and 2. We're not powerless against sin. No. So don't excuse yourself anymore to be living according to the flesh. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he also shall reap. If he sows unto the flesh, of the flesh he's going to what? Sow death. But if he sows unto the Spirit, of the Spirit he's going to reap eternal life. It's your decision. You came to Christ to tell Christ how to do things, or you came to obey what he says you to do?
To obey.
I have not finished the race yet. I have to complete check myself every day. What are the motives of my heart? Do I like to preach rough so I can feel good about myself, or do I have to do it because God is speaking to me? The time is near and we have to really look for the will of the Lord. He's sovereign and his will is going to be done regardless if I follow his counsel or not. I just hope that I can humble myself and follow his counsel, and to be counted in the numbers of those that have trusted in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of Israel. Let's look upon ourselves. Let the Lord be sovereign. Let's come to him and say, Lord, do with me as however you please. You know that hymn that Donnie, I don't know if it was last Sunday, but it is well with my soul. I'm just going to be just pleased with whatever the Lord, wants with me. That's what we have to seek for. And I hope that we tremble before the Word of God. That we understand that the Word of God is paramount. And that all other philosophies are of no avail. Desire the unadulterated, says Peter, milk of the Word of God. I don't like milk. Let me put a little bit of cocoa or chocolate. Or what about vanilla? Do I want creamer with flavor in my coffee and not just milk, you know? You see what I'm talking about? Is that right? Well, can you understand what I'm trying to convey? The thing is this, because we desire the unadulterated milk of the Word of God like babes. In other words, because we have to be like a child, it happens that I don't want to change the Word of God. But when I introduce any other thing to make it more palatable, appetizing, you know. You know that Mary is a cake decorator, or she was. I think that she's retiring from that. And she can make, with the frosting, a lot of beautiful, okay? And all of a sudden, Mary comes and makes this, I find in the house, this thing decorated, so nice. But Rafi just go direct, and because it seems so appetizing, all of a sudden, lift it up, and when he bites, it was a brick. We cannot start decorating things that are not the Word of God, and we have to learn to eat that bread of life. The bread of life, the one that really is going to change me. It's going to make me what I am not. Because he's going to transform me to the image of his Son. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be a different person. Man, I knew Rafi when he was an atheist and all that stuff. Man, that guy's not the same. Can somebody say that about you? Can that somebody say that about me? This is a testimony, and I'm not trying to pat myself in the back. The Lord forgive me if I offend anybody. But I remember one time I was walking to a hospital, you know, and I was just in jeans and all that, you know. And this is in the 70s, you know. In the 70s, if you were a Christian, you had to use polyester. Because we judge for the outer appearance. And I go inside of the hospital, and this person stopped me and says, "You're a Christian, is that right? Can you come and pray for my uncle that is in need and all that stuff?" I didn't have a sign here. But the Holy Spirit even make you a witness when you need to be in the most odd situations. Now let's see. Do I want to play church or I want to be church? I want to be church. Amen? Amen. And that's what we're here for. To be church. To be the body of Christ, to become the true witnesses to a community and a world that is lost. But if they cannot see a difference in us from them, what do they need to become a Christian? There's no difference. So if there's no difference, there's something wrong. We're peculiar people. Well, we know God is sovereign. The Holy Spirit is given to us to have power. Power for what? For confessing these truths of the gospel. Because I tell you one thing. Sometimes we as believers, we're kind of shy. I don't know if I can tell my friend about Jesus, because it happens that he has a different belief, or he's an atheist and all that stuff, and I don't want to offend them. Hello? Don't you know that you're going to overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony? But if you cannot confess Christ, you know what Christ said? If you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father that is in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and his angels. He's right. We cannot say, "Oh, that's not fair." Yes, it's fair, because you're doing to him what you don't want him to do to you when you deny him. Don't be afraid of confessing Christ. Confess the Lord daily. If there's an opportunity, let somebody know. You don't know if that person is being just so tied up by Satan that he needs that word so he can become delivered by coming to Christ, and all of a sudden you have a brother. You have a sister. And all of a sudden they come and church with you. And then they say, "Oh, thank you. Armando Calo came every day. Talk to me about Christ. man, this guy really is nuts. He don't talk but about Christ only. I've been told that too by family members. You don't have anything else to talk about? Nope. Can you imagine denying Christ because I don't want to offend somebody? I'm going to tell you about a man that has a testimony that he was having an inheritance from his grandfather for $40 million. And when he went to the lawyer's office, it happened that the lawyer said to him, your grandfather leave you these, but he left a clause in this, a clause at the end of the contract. And you know that the clause is like the last statement on a contract. And he says, in order that you can get this $40 million, you do have to deny Jesus Christ. This would be me. $40 million. He says, no, I cannot do that. You know what the lawyer says? Look, I have to do, to get my honoraries, I have to give you this inheritance of $40 million. But you there's nobody here in the office. Do you see anybody else but you and me? Nobody had to know. Just sign here, you get your $40 million. And he says, yeah, you're right. There's nobody here but Jesus. And he just put away $40 million for the love of the Savior that gave his life for him. This is happening today. If we really take the stand, we are the true witness that Jesus Christ wants us to be. So I'm going to close with this. There's a line to be drawn. Oh, I'm in Christ. Oh, I'm against him. Or like Richard said, sometimes we want to step on both sides. Nah, that doesn't work. Come to the side of God. It's not that God has to be on my side. I have to be on his side. I have to move to his side. I had to come to him. He already came to me and gave himself in the cross of Calvary. In this is why we know that God loves us. Is that right? So now that we know that God is sovereign, the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be witnesses. And it happens that we have to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Are we going to take and make that decision? Because it's a decision of death or life. If you have not come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have not made him Lord of your life, you're still your own Lord, you're calling the shots, stop. Let it be him, the sovereign King of the universe. And come, he's looking for that kind of person, the one that is willing to say, yes, Lord, I know that I've been trying to plan my life all this time. You know how you can make God laugh, is that right? Tell him about your plans. And he laughs because he says, you don't know, boy or girl, you know what I have in store for you. Sometimes, yeah, amen. Your ways are not my ways, is that right? So, let's meditate in these words. And I ask you, please, please, as the 66 of the books are there, go to the 66th chapter of Isaiah when you go home and read it complete and read it again and read it again and let the Lord minister to your life so he will just go and polish you and make you a light in the midst of darkness. I implore you. Surrender to the Lord. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, you have given us the privilege of being messengers of the truth. I ask you, O Lord, that you will strengthen the weak, that you will help those who are in afflictions and in need, and that you will lift up those that has fallen. Help us, O Lord, to see you for who you are. Let it be that we can seek your face in earnest devotion, and that we don't do anything about selfish ambition, but that we will just be born in the love of Christ as you have commanded. Jesus, you said that the one that loves you is the one that obeys your commands, and your commands are not grievous. You tell us to love one another. Let it be that that love can be born in our hearts. Guide us, keep us, and let it be, O Lord, that we can come with good news, that we have just shared the message of the gospel, and that we have come with a message to somebody, and that they might have to come to you. And let it be, O Lord, if it's your will, that they will church with us here, that we can bring many to you. Because it's not us, the one that do the work. It's your Holy Spirit that works in the life of man, like you have done in our lives. Because it's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that I pray. I know this will be done according to your will. Amen. God bless.